Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello and welcome to the show. How the devil are you all?
Ahoy!
Ahoy there!
Okay, so today we will be talking about wraiths and rakes. Because we started out looking at rakes, didn't we? But we didn't find too much on it. And the wraith itself is...
goes back, well, you can find more of the wraith than can the wraith.
And it's vaguely similar. Yeah, vaguely similar.
It is similar to me. I think it is similar.
So before we get into that, let's have a look at this week's reviews. So we've got a review from Australia. And again, like I say, if you leave us an iTunes review, if you can let us know that you've left it and which country you've left it in, then it helps us to find it, because physically I have to go onto iTunes and physically change there's a little thing in the corner which changes the country of the iTunes, so America, UK, Australia, or whatever. And I have to literally flick through them to see from other countries. So there's one here from September. This is in Australia. And it says it's from Oz Rock and Roller.
Hello, Oz Rock and Roller.
And it said, informative and captivating. He said, listen to the alien abduction and the Poltergeist episode. We'll be checking out the other episodes too. Well researched, God banner. Between the house, what's it say? And engage. I can't read it, it's gone off the screen there. And engaging listen. Well done.
Well done.
So that's my best Australian accent just for you, sir. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
And we did have
I'm not going to even try and do
we did have a UK review this week, and that was from.
Well, this is a review from Jacko1980. He says, I stumbled across this podcast via another one. Totally glad I did. Really informative and great to hear British Northern voices discussing all things paranormal. Also a hint of good humour in with it. Currently listening through back episodes like a fat kid scoffing free cake. In fact, I can say that. Okay. Keep up the good work, lads. Yes, we will. Thank you, Jacko.
Yeah, that's funny. And I did post that one to the Hangout because that one was in the UK, so I could find that one easy.
Yeah.
So, again, if you can leave us a review, please, please do.
Please. Very, very, very important.
If not, just share the show everywhere.
Yeah.
So, getting on to Patreon, did we have any people sign a pledge to us this week? No, we had we did have Raymond upped his offerings.
Thank you very much, Raymond. So, much appreciated.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, so on with the show. So I thought we'd start with a little bit of a description of rake and wraith. Obviously, wraith is more of a ghost. It's like obviously it's a Scottish word. Wraith is the Scottish word for
ghost. Correct.
But it moves into different categories. He moves into like doppelganger, the fetch in Gaelic and Celtic folklore. So, as a description, then he's mostly on occasion you'll see him just made of smoke.
Yep. Well, again, he's, you know, definitely etheric. So he can move between, you know, he can be physical and then he can be non-physical. Yeah. He can go through walls and then he can sit in your bed, have physical presence.
What's the description of him, though?
Well, again, I think it depends on the person who sees him. Mm. You know, you could see him as a monster. Someone could see him as a kind of a zombie-like creature. Another one could see him as just a normal human being. Mm. It depends whatever he wants to present himself to that person.
Most describe him as looking like, if you're familiar, most people are familiar with the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
So the Wraith is generally depicted as a Grim Reaper. There's a little.
You mean an omen of death?
Yeah, well, he can be an omen of death, but there is a little side note to that, which I'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, he's this skeletal figure, human sort of shape, wearing a robe or a shroud, right?
Could this be also, could we put the Hat Man also in this category
No,
as well?
that's pure shadow, isn't it?
Right.
So
with the Wraith is a shadow and physical as well?
No, I don't think he's necessarily a shadow. He's normally, like I say, a skeleton or he's smoke.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shadow. Again, I think it's
shadows like sucking all light. It's totally different, isn't it? But the other thing, obviously the rake sometimes, like, again, it pops up in loads of games, like, you know, Resident Evil, this kind of stuff. Yeah. Is this, like, bald, human-looking creature, occasionally has glowing eyes, and it tends to crawl about. And essentially, if you imagine the Grim Reaper without his shroud on, it's a similar sort of being.
Well, again, I think it's just there to, we've researched a little bit on the Wraith, and again, it's a entity or discarnate entity, my view, that's wants to suck your energy.
Yeah.
It's a energy sucking entity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
I think the only thing that will feed on is negative or dark energy.
Yeah, well, I've got a story that sort of bears that out a little bit, which I'll go into in a minute. But this creature can be seen anywhere. It's not it's just an English thing. It's pretty much. I know the Wraith, the word itself is Scottish, but this creature can be seen everywhere. I mean, everyone knows the Grim Reaper, so so it just shows you how far ranging this being is. But sightings are few and far between. And again, a couple of stories. Well, a story what I'm going to go into in a minute. In Scottish folklore, if you see yourself, so we say doppelganger, okay.
Yep.
But if you see yourself, that's a Wraith. Okay, so I think there's a little bit of a difference between a Wraith and a rake. I think the Wraith tends to be, apart from when it's the Grim Reaper form, generally it looks like someone. So you could say it's the ghost of someone, although generally if it's a doppelganger, you see it before it dies. So that doesn't quite make sense.
No,
but then the rake, I would say the rake's never been a person. I think the rake is more of a physical being on its own. Or, you know, a creature on its own, rather than the soul of anybody like that. Because it's not, this is not, you know, the ghost of Aunt Meryl, is it? This is...
Well, no.
This is, you know, something different.
But we've had, I've read into stories about the rake, you know, being actually physical on the ground, and it had physical weight, and it was there. And then we've had other stories or, you know, other sightings of it being just here and there, you know, non-physical. So...
Before I get into that little story then, I thought we'd do a story from Connie, sent us a story.
Okay.
It's time for story. Okay, she says that she's always had child experiences, with the paranormal. It started at an early age and it's still ongoing today. And she said this happened just a couple of weeks ago. She said she woke up because something was pulling her leg. And that's not a joke.
No.
I had kind of gotten to the point where I opened my eyes, made sure nobody was there, moved my leg and went back to sleep. I've watched the hooded robe figure move out of the wall and walk through a half wall and walk like he was going down the stairs. So again, he's replaying some sort of motion with, you know, the house has obviously changed over the years.
Yep.
And, you know, still ghosts do that, don't they?
It also can be residual as well.
I've brought a ghost home from a bed and breakfast. And I could feel him in the car with us. I got home, my two little girls come screaming down the stairs saying that there was a man hovering over their bed. But the scariest moment came when I was 17. And I walked upstairs through a dark hallway and had to use the bathroom. I had my fingers on my jeans buttons, and when I looked down the dark bathroom, there in the room, framed out in the light of the window, stood a horned beast with a staff. I ran down the stairs and tried to crawl under my bed. So she crawled under her bed and shouted for her dad, who was sitting in a chair watching TV. For the next 30 years, I never looked into the darkness. I kept my eyes closed and felt around for the light switches. I am braver now, but I still wonder what I saw. A horned beast with a staff.
Again, it's what the person perceives. Again, I'm going back to my childhood, and I could understand some of the, you know, all you bring them back. When you're psychic, when you've got this, and everybody's got the ability, not just me, everybody's got it. You know, everybody's born with it. When you're really, really psychic, and you know, a green light comes on, and the spirits come in, and they know you can, they can talk to you, interact with you, and they'll do anything to get your attention. So, I mean, when I was young, they used to come into my bedroom and trying to put my sheets off bed, and so I told them to go away. You know, so yeah, maybe. Yeah. Again, this beast of one horned beast and the staff, it could have been maybe what she perceived, you know, but it might have been just another human being. But again, it depends what that person perceived. But again, I understand, you know, where that's coming from, because it's very, very, very frightening. Very frightening.
Absolutely. And if you've got a story you want to share with us, just send it to dbtopodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Or reach us via Facebook. Right, so you've mentioned a few things, really, about the Wraith and its origins, or what conjures it up, this kind of thing. Moving more into the magic kind of
course,
sphere.
Yeah.
And I got a story here, and this is about the poet, Percy Bysshe Shelley, I think his name
Shelley,
is.
Shelley, yeah.
And he later on goes on to marry the Mary Shelley, who writes Frankenstein. But back in the early 1800s, okay, at this time he's just a poet, he's a political radical. He's a pamphleter. He's pretty much.
But he's really, really into the paranormal, isn't he?
He's into the
occult. Which,
he's obsessed with the occult from a very, very young age. And even to the point of being when he was 16, he used to try and conjure up these things.
Yeah,
to scare his little sister.
People. And occult listeners, by the way, all it means is hidden. There's nothing evil or devilish about the word occult.
No,
all it means is hidden.
Yeah, bringing things that are from the invisible into the visible,
yeah,
essentially.
So it's not really an evil. You know, if someone says to you, he's been into the occult, and you think, oh, he's a devil web. No, it just means hidden, that's all.
Yeah. Well, depends.
But depends on the person, of course. What's he like?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think you've got necessarily control. I mean, this is a different subject, I know, but I'm not sure if you've really got control of what you're conjuring up.
I agree.
I think sometimes you open things, and this is the same with a Ouija board. You always hear stories,
yeah,
don't you, where people, you know,
yeah,
do it for fun, and then something happens, and it's a similar sort of
thing. It's not a game. It's not a parlor game.
So
it's very, very real and very dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing.
It was very strange, like I say, because he was obsessed with the occult at a young age, and like I say, he used to do these things, and he got his sister and him used to adorn clothes to look like certain people as like a conjuring spirit, to do things to those people. Then he got his sister involved in this, although she says that he used to scare her quite a lot, you know.
Well, yeah,
he was conjuring up things, trying to scare her. But the other thing he used to like to do is go on moonlit walks in the middle of the night, midnight. This is when he was a kid, yeah? So, again, and that crops up later on, but he was 16, he was at Eton, and a member of staff found him sitting in a circle of blue flames trying to conjure up Beelzebub.
Yeah.
Apparently it didn't work.
it
didn't
work.
Quite work, but what all this did, like, and again, like you mentioned earlier about the Wraith feeding on the negative, whenever he had issues and that, and he'd turn into the occult and all the rest of it, he'd start doing this sleepwalking in the middle of, you know, obviously when he's asleep and in the middle of the night, and then he'd start seeing beings and stuff like this. So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point.
Be careful what you wish for.
Indeed. So he tells this guy, Thomas Jefferson Hogg, that he went out on a midnight walk. He went out on a midnight walk, and he said he was sure the devil was following him. He could hear him coming through the grass, turn around, nothing there. But he was convinced that there was some being following him around. He makes reference to this in one of his poems, apparently, where he said, like, there's him and three. You know, he's not one, he's three almost. There's more of him. And again, we'll go into this doppelganger later on. So we move on to 1813, okay? And he's married to his first wife, Harriet. And they move to Wales North Wales, in a place called, I think it's called Termadoc. Does that sound right to you?
Right.
God, I don't know.
But, I'm not good at Welsh, might be honest.
No. So anyway, I hope I don't offend anybody.
No. We love the Welsh.
Yes, well, but I'm great at butchering names. But anyway, yeah. He was a bit, like I say, he was a bit of a sort, and he antagonizes all his neighbours. So he moves in, antagonizes all the neighbours. And he got under the skin of one particular guy called Robert Leeson, who was basically a rich landowner. Really didn't like the guy. To the effect that on 26th of February, there was a storm, perfect storm, you might say, where an intruder breaks into his house and fires two shots, trying to kill Shelley.
Yep.
Didn't kill him, didn't hit him even. So, later on that night, same night, the intruder comes back and fires a couple more shots into him. Again, missed him again, didn't kill him. Now, some people say it never happened. Some people say it did happen, and it was this Robert guy.
Right.
Because everybody knew that he hated him, with good reason, apparently. But a lot of people thought it was just Shelley was delusional. Like I say, people seen him going on his midnight walks and talking about spirits. So we'll never know, but it doesn't sound like it happened, really. And I don't think this Robert, by all the people, testimony of the people that knew this Robert, said that's out of his character kind of thing, so... But he was obsessed with him, right?
Right.
And it didn't matter where Shelley went, he said that Leeson was following him. So he'd go to London, he'd go all over the country, and he'd say he'd seen him. Now, whether this is a doppelganger, or because the guy himself, it was impossible for the guy to have moved, because people knew him, said he'd know he was here the whole time. So it definitely wasn't him. Whether it was a doppelganger or it was his imagination, again, it's hard to say. But when you're dabbling in this stuff,
yep,
you can see that in his writings, he had an internal struggle. I mean, we might call it bipolar today. I'm not sure if that's what he's suffering with, but it sounds similar.
He definitely had mental issues.
Or schizophrenia, maybe the other thing. Okay. But even in his writings and his journals and letters that, you know, are still about, he'd talk about this himself as having a doubleness of his own nature, okay? So, or an anti-self. Or a dark anti-self. So he'd say, you know, there's me, and there's this other being, whether it's,
if you're talking about the dark occult, then obviously you're talking of something that's attached itself to him.
Mm.
I mean...
He said this being that was attached to him, like you say, was starting from himself as like the company of friends, almost like it was... Wanted to be with it, there was like a mutual thing going on.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, that's the way it sticks onto you. It's like a limpet on a rock. You know.
Again, we're talking about this negative energy. Okay, so in 1822, at this point, he's married to his second wife, Mary. Okay, so they moved to the Liguria coast, which I'm reliably informed is in Italy on the Riviera.
It's nice to have money in them days, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, indeed. With two friends, that was Jane and Edward Williams, okay, buying his house and living in his house. Now, Mary herself said she got a presence, a foreboding feeling. She had a sort of premonition of sorts of impending horror. And at this point, the marriage was on the rocks, okay? Again, like I say, he was putting on a brave face to all. By all accounts, everybody thought that he was doing all right, and he was really happy to be where he was. So that was masking some of it. But obviously, internally, there was a bit of a struggle going on again, because he starts going back into his old patterns of sleepwalking, seeing apparitions. Even to one point, he was having dinner out on the terrace, overlooking the sea there, and he saw a child pop up, naked child pop out of the sea. Hands clasped together, you know, help me. And he pointed it out so no one else could see it. So again, you know, he's falling back into these ways. He did have a couple of other premonitions himself. One was that he would see the Williams couple covered in blood.
Yep.
Which again, you know, if you're living with this guy and he's telling you this, it's probably time to move. And he also saw a figure standing over Mary. And when he looked in his dream, like he looked at this figure, it was himself.
Right.
So he's seeing himself again, this doppelganger, and again, with a wraith, this crops up. And it's generally said that with the wraith folklore, that if you see the doppelganger, if you see yourself, it's a little bit different to the banshee, because the banshee's like, if you hear the banshee, someone in your family's going to die. Not necessarily you, but someone close to you. Whereas the Scottish version of the wraith if you see the doppelganger, 9 times out of 10, it's you.
Yeah.
That's going to die. Or if you see the Wraith itself. So again, you know, we go back to this folklore of this omen of death. But he has this premonition. And a few days before these premonitions, they actually saw a doppelganger of himself.
Right, okay.
In the, he said it was daylight, it was in the garden, and this man walked over to him, and he recognised him straight away. He'd recognise himself. And he said how long he meant to be content. So he asked him, basically, how long he meant to be content. So I guess he said, how long do you want to be content? So, again, it's a strange thing to say, but after his death, after Shelley died, Mary wrote to a friend saying that, it sounds crazy. This all sounds crazy, okay? So you can imagine her situation. So she's writing to this friend saying, look, I know this sounds crazy. But Jane Williams, she actually saw a doppelganger of him, of Shelley. So it's not just him making it up. Other people are seeing this thing. And this happened to her. She happened to be at the window at the villa. And she looks out the window to see him walk past. And again, she said, he won't wear a coat, won't wear a hat, which was unusual. But he just walked past the window and she thought nothing of it. She carried on and then he walked past again. But the problem was he'd walked past from left to right both times.
Yep.
So he hadn't gone back past the window to go back again. Now, the problem with that is the only way you can get round was via travelling over a 20-foot tall wall.
Ooh.
Or a cliff face, if you like. She was pretty convinced that he hasn't gone round there. So at that point, she was maybe saying, hang on, maybe there is something to this. So she saw this death. Now, again, remember, going back to this folklore, if you see the doppelganger, means you're going to die. So we go forward a month or so, and the Williams and Shelley die in a boat crash.
Right.
They drown at sea. On the same night that one of Shelley's friends, a lady, Mount Cashel, I think her name was, she dreamt, okay, that she saw him, his face, he came to her. She said he was pale, melancholy, and he basically said mournfully, I shall never eat more.
Ooh.
So make it that way you will. Because reading what happened when the bodies were found, I don't know if... Oh, it sounds like he was saying... Because, let me explain. His body was found 10 days later, and they identified it by his books that he had in his pocket,
right,
and the clothes that he's wearing, because his face and his hands had been bitten off, chewed off,
right,
by fish or whatever. So when she said he said those words, I shall never eat more, you know, makes me think, was he saying, he knew he was dying, or, you know, his hands have been chewed off so he can't eat no more, his face is gone, I don't know, but it's just a strange thing. But again, it's harping back to this folklore that if you see the Wraith, the doppelganger, then it tends to foretell your, again, going back to this omen of death, it foretells your...
I don't believe in the omen of death. I don't... Well, the Wraith, again, I think it's... Again, I think with Shelley, he dabbled into something he should have kept away from. He didn't understand what he was doing. And he got attached to by a lower astral realm entity, very naughty one. And obviously, once they're onto you, they can put thought thorns in your head. You know, they can make you go nuts. But that's what they want anyway, just go mad anyway. I don't believe the omens of death. I think they can put into your thoughts, you know, they can come to you as a man or as a zombie, as anything they want. A doppelganger, again, is, you know, is you. Because, you know, we maybe just to do another show on this. But there are other yous elsewhere.
Yeah.
We know, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Again, this is another show. There are other yous.
See, I get a different feeling with this than the average doppelganger. I get
why would a doppelganger of you come and know that, and that would cause your death? I don't see the.
Well, that's what I mean.
Why would it?
It's presenting itself as you.
Yeah, but if you're going to die, you're going to go anyway. Why present something for you you're going to pass over anyway? You're going to go.
Maybe it's some sort of being that. Maybe it's taking over your essence. You know what I mean?
It so can't. It's possible.
It's becoming you.
Unless you kind of invite it in. If you don't invite it in, it can't come in.
Well, if you do see a Wraith,
and
it's the Grim Reaper-esque one, the folklore says that, depending on where his hood is, it tells you how long you've got to live. So if his hood's down and he's just a skull, then you've got a while, okay?
Yeah.
not too long. We're only talking a few months or so, but you know, yeah, don't get your ropes up. But obviously, if it's covered, if his face is covered, yep, like the traditional Grim Reaper, that means you may as well pack a bag because it's
time to go. Time to go.
I'm
just going to another classroom. No problem.
So,
but that, you know, again, the Wraith to me and the Rake and the Wraith, I think they're the same being, same entity.
Mm. Well, another story from Scotland about a Wraith, and this is the Handless Wraith.
Mm.
Okay, this takes place in, how do you say this, Scottish name?
Nairn.
And this takes place in Reit Castle, which is an 800-year-old now castle. It's obviously in ruins at the moment,
mm-hmm,
but this obviously took place when the castle was in its glorious self. But the castle itself, like I say, is 800 years old, and it was built by Norman knights, apparently. There was a struggle, if you like, a land struggle between two clans, the Mackintosh clan and the Cummins clan.
Right.
Cummins now. Back in the day, there was called Dirit, which is where the castle gets its name from.
Yep.
That was their Norman name, if you like. It was the fourth chief of the Mackintosh tribe or clan who was the first occupant of the castle. Okay, so back then it was called Mackintosh Castle. Okay,
yep.
So he didn't move into the Reit Castle, you know. He actually moved into the castle and called it after his own people. But he was granted the land in the 13th century. And after he died, his son took possession of the castle. But when he died in 1274, his son at the time was very young. So he was the next heir.
Okay.
But he was very young. So at this time, the Cunninghams, as later became known, decided it was time to take control, take this back, you know, and get this castle for themselves. So that's what they did. So they seized the castle, they seized a lot of the holdings of the Mackintoshes, and obviously you can imagine that this led to an even bigger feud, okay?
Of course.
Between the two clans. Now, the Mackintosh clan fought on the side of Robert the Bruce.
Right.
Okay. And the Cunninghams fought on the side of, was it Edward? I think it was Edward I, was it?
I'm not sure.
Not sure, but I think it was, so, or whatever. They fought for the side of England, essentially.
Right.
And obviously, we all know that in 1305, Robert the Bruce won the war. We don't like
well to, done, Robert.
We don't like to talk too much about him. But it's actually an interesting story, Robert the Bruce, isn't it? But he obviously won, got rid of the English, told him to fucking do one.
Yep.
And at this point, the Mackintosh thought, well, we're going to get our castle back because we've won.
Yeah.
So he comes to Robert and he says, look, puts his claim forward. He says, you know, this is my land and I want it back. Anyway, the Cummins basically just said, fuck off, we're not moving.
Yeah.
They've got the castle, you get us out of here. So obviously, again, struggle.
Another feud.
Yeah. Now, this rift between the two families lasted from, this was 1305, lasted right up to 1424. Okay, so there's always that, you know.
Yeah.
That was always there. 1424, the Cummins decided to hang a few of the Mackintosh men. And again, this really stoked the fire.
Yep.
Then obviously there was retaliation after retaliation after retaliation. Until the point where the Cunningham clan leader decided he would hatch a cunning plan. And again, those familiar with the Game of Thrones series, fantastic series, and we'll probably see a similarity between the show and what happens here. Because he decides that, in his wisdom, he's going to tell the Mackintosh clan, look, we've been bickering for a long time now, let's bury the hatchet, come over to my place, we'll have a big feast, you know, and we'll sort this out.
Bury the hatchet.
So they do. So they decide they'll come over. But what Mr. Cunningham didn't realise is that his daughter was secretly seeing one of the Mackintosh fellows.
Oh.
Oh, dear, indeed.
Yeah.
So,
all fair in love and war.
Well, they used to, apparently, the young couple used to meet at this certain location.
Yeah.
And she went there and she couldn't see him because he was behind this. Ooh. There was a rock there and he was behind the other side of the rock. So she got there. She said, what am I going to do? Because this is going to happen and they're going to kill them all. Because that was the plan, see? They was going to kill them all. When they got there, they was going to kill them. So she says, what am I going to do? Anyway, she couldn't see him, so she just went back home. And obviously, he was the other side. Rocky heard it all, went back, told his people. So what they decided to do is not go to the party.
Yep.
No, of course they didn't. You know? They fucking went. Did they? Yeah, of course you do. You know what I mean? Because you get told, yeah. Oh, yeah, if you go there, they're going to kill you. Oh, right, let's go.
Yeah.
So they did. So, but they took knives with them. So they all went with knives. And the signal was meant to be... Now, there's a little bit of conjecture about what the signal was meant to be, but some people say it was when the head, the hog's head or whatever came in. You know, at the end, yeah. You know, hey, boy, that comes in. Other people said it was the toast, because they was going to do a toast for the forgotten, for the dead.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously these clans have been fighting for a long while. And it, anyway, whatever happened, there was the toast happened, and then a big melee broke out. And it was sort of a 50-50 battle, which you'd imagine, because there was a lot of people in the room. Now, Mr. Cunningham obviously decided that his daughter must have told them. It's the only way they could have known. So he runs up there to her bedroom. She lives in the tower. So her bedroom is in the tower. Now, the only escape for air, and you know what these towers and castles are like, was a window.
Well, like Rapunzel. So she
runs to the window. Yeah. Unfortunately for her, she didn't have much air. So she decided to hang and drop. She hangs out the window and realises it's quite a ways down.
Just a bit.
Yeah. So her dad came to the window and she pleaded with him, you know, said, I didn't realise that. Anyway, he wasn't having any of it. So he just brought his sword down on her hands, cut her hands off. No, so she fell to her death. Hence the handless Wraith. She is, apparently, she was seen for quite a while after that. And the family's moved out of the castle. So I don't know if it was because of what had happened or because of the ghost, but the castle, it's like, say, now it's in disrepair.
Yeah.
And there's a conservation group set up to restore it back to its former glory. Because obviously, you know,
it's usually the National Trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
That brings
it's
it up.
Like, and... well, it's an independent one as well, but they want to get it built back. That's the story of the Handless Wraith.
Yeah, definitely. She'll have no hands.
Again, you know, when people see her, they see her. So I'm not sure why that. I mean, again, the Scottish word for ghost is wraith. So. We could just be looking at a
spirit.
Yeah, a handless ghost, we call it in England. Like, okay.
Discarnate entity.
But, okay, so we'll do the paranormal news now.
Yep.
And then we'll, after the paranormal news, we've got a couple of things to look at. We've got a phone call to look at.
Yeah, this is creepy, but it's got to be listened to.
Right? Yeah. And then I thought we might finish on.
And it's a real telephone call, by the way. It's not made up.
Yeah, it's actually a 911 call.
It's a 911 call, so.
No, I thought we might look into some ways of, if you do come face-to-face with a wraith, maybe ways to kill it.
Yeah, so. Or kill it, or send it away, or keep it away from you, which is...
Okay, so, paranormal news.
Okay.
Welcome to another installment of the Paranormal News, broadcasting to you from places unknown, bringing you the top three paranormal headlines of the week.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number three. Right, from the Mirror. Bloke records horrifying clip of alien outside his house. In the clip, which will be on the Hangout by the way, the cameraman explains how he found handprints on his door the previous day. As a result, he left some bait outside his house and set up a security camera and tried to find out what animal could be doing it. But he says handprints, not paw prints.
Handprints.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It means paw prints, obviously. If I found handprints on my door, I'm not leaving bait outside.
No.
Anyway, the point is, but to his horror, when he viewed the footage, no animal was present. Instead, he acknowledged some type of light anomaly.
It's gotta be an alien.
Gotta be. The recording appears to show some kind of glowing white light. He goes on to explain that in the area is the woods. There is nothing behind it. No city, no lights, nothing. The man also showed a clip before the motion sensor was tripped that does not display the phenomenon.
Don't go there, mate.
The video was uploaded to YouTube channel Seamus Black on Saturday with the title New Paranormal Evidence. Second day in a row. Alien ghost? Question mark. The footage comes in addition to previous videos surrounding the handprints the man had found on his door the day before. This discovery comes after it was reported that a UFO had been spotted in the skies above Mexico. And earlier in the day, video emerged of an apparent UFO interfering with live news broadcasts.
So doesn't this alien use gloves then?
No.
Okay.
You know what day? You know his third video will be day three, anal probe.
Yeah. Well, not me. It won't. Right. Number two. Eerie footage captures paranormal activity inside World War II plane haunted by ghost of a female co-pilot. Tony Ferguson, 33, claims a poltergeist threw his camera across the cabin of the plane before the spirit appeared as a white angel's feather. A fitness coach claims to have captured paranormal activity on the camera. Tony Ferguson left, freaked out after he claims a poltergeist threw his camera across the cabin of the plane before the spirit appeared as a white angel's feather. In the first of two spine-tingling videos, the 33-year-old asks whatever is haunting the former military seaplane to make itself known before a series of loud bangs echo through the empty cabin. When he asks for the entity to show itself, Tony's camera, which had also been experiencing interference, often associated with paranormal activity, was hurled to the ground. Personal trainer Tony was so intrigued by his horror movie encounter in October 2017 that he returned to the short flying boat, the centrepiece at Southampton's Solent Sky Museum this month. Entering the eerie aircraft again, Tony called out for this entity, but this time captured amazing footage of what looks like a white feather appearing out of nowhere and to float across the cabin before vanishing again. Tony of Southampton said, "I first visited the museum at the end of last year. As soon as I went into the plane, I felt this pressure on my whole body and I had this horrible feeling of dread."
Was that your Southampton accent?
Well, I don't know. What does Southampton sound like? I speak up my whatever. "I started filming and my camera kept going wacky. I had been filming earlier in the day without any problems and it's been fine ever since. The kind of equipment interference is associated with paranormal activity and bad energy." No, it's not. "But I had never seen anything like it before, only in horror films. I knew there was something in there and I asked it to make itself known and suddenly there was this loud banging. It really freaked me out. I asked it again and my camera suddenly flew across the cabin onto the floor like something threw it. It really shocked me. It was frightening. I knew it must have been a poltergeist. Poltergeists are manifestations of bad energy and they never actually appear." Well, that's a load of rubbish. Mm. But, yes.
People have a thing about feathers on that though, don't they? It's a sign of a loved one.
Why is it people say poltergeists are bad energy? Because they're not. because they blame everything. Anyway, I'm going to say
number one. Right, some sad news this one. Apparently, the Loch Ness Monster is no more.
Oh dear.
It's been found dead on the shores of a Georgia beach.
Okay.
So, is Nessie dead in America? Mystery as sea creature resembling Loch Ness Monster washes up on Georgia beach. Jeff Warren took the pictures and video of the mysterious sea creature while out boating with his son around Wolf Island National Wildlife Refuge on Friday. Warren told News4Jax, that at the first he thought the carcass was a dead seal and saw a heron pecking at it. But when he got closer, he saw that the dead creature more closely resembled the Loch Ness type thing. With its long neck and small head, the animal had also drawn comparisons to the prehistoric plesiosaur, an extinct species of large marine reptile. Dan Ash, the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, told the outlet that sometimes basking sharks can begin to resemble plesiosaurs when the body decomposes.
Thanks for the check.
Yeah.
Checks in the...
I'm going to put a picture of a plesiosaur and a basking shark
and see. Yeah, put it on, see what it says.
Yeah.
But this is an expert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what it is.
It's
probably right, but...
Yeah.
When the photos of the creature started going viral, social media users also pointed out that it looks like the mythical...
Alamataha.
The river monster who lurks in the Alamataha River.
Yeah,
just west of Wolf Island. Skeptics pushed the theory of the corpse to be fake, placed ahead of next week's April Fool's Day. More practical social media users said it also resembled a frilled shark. DailyMail.com has reached out to several experts for their opinions on the mysterious sea creature identity, but are waiting to hear back.
Yeah.
It's skeptics do my head in. They start saying it's an ox. No, it's an animal. Obviously, it just looks like a fucking Loch Ness monster, but it's probably something else. But it's not fake. It don't have to be fake. It can just be something. It can just be mistaken identity, can't it? Fucking skeptics.
But they can't rock the boat. Otherwise, they'll lose the houses and they won't get the paychecks.
Okay, so as usual, those videos and photographs of the basking shark.
Yeah.
I mean, the basking shark's a big old animal, isn't it? But
yeah. I don't think it would look like that, but hey.
Things look weird when they decompose, but...
Of course they do. Depends how long it's been on there.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's... And moved and dragged and
a
whatever.
Decomposing seal or something like that, I could understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, the pictures will be up there for your...
Stratton Hangout.
...viewing pleasure.
Yes.
Right, should we listen to this phone call then? This is a guy... This is a 911 call of a guy who believes he saw something resembling a rake.
Rake, wraith, whatever. So, something not very nice that was in front of his car. Is that correct, Liz?
Yeah.
Genuine. Very genuine, but, you know, obviously, I can understand the fear and fight something in your car, but wouldn't you put your foot down?
Well, reverse.
It as in, but, you know, someone's there menacing, and you feel life-threatened.
I guess I don't know, though, because without seeing where he was, I mean, he could have been sat in his carport or something.
Well, I don't know. I think it was outside.
But yeah, he could run over it, couldn't he?
Yeah.
But obviously, he was outside. He's in the car. Yeah,
but then you'd feel bad if it was somebody in a Halloween costume, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, no. No.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Not if they're standing in front of me in the middle of the night.
Put your foot down.
No, I won't feel bad for that at all.
Well, again, he tried reverse and he... Yeah.
Yeah, and kills his grandma.
And but what he does, he sits there and he rings the police. Which, again, I can see.
Yeah, I wonder if they even turned up.
I don't know.
I doubt it. Well, they didn't turn up the other night, did they, when you put us in a ditch? Anyway,
no.
Moving on. We'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
So let's listen to this phone call.
Yeah.
911, what's your emergency? Stay calm. Stay on the line. Can you describe your location? I can see my car. I can't get past it. Do you know what street you're on? Where's home? Where do you live? I'm on Probasco Street. Probasco? Yes. I'm on Probasco Street. It's right in front of me. I can't. Help is on the way. Stay calm. What do you see? It's right in front of me. Are you being attacked? No, it's not attacking me. It's in front of my car. I don't know what it is. It's got. Stay calm. Help is on the way. I don't know if it's a dog or a cat or a raccoon. I don't know what it is. It's just covered in. Calm down. Get some distance from it. Stay on Probasco. I can't. It's right in front of me and I can't move. It's looking at me. It won't stop looking at me. I tried. I mean, stay calm. I can't get past. Stay calm. You need to stay on the line. It's coming to you. It won't let me. What won't let you? This thing, it's looking at me. It's got the body of what was this? I think it was a raccoon, and it's been eating it through the bones in front of me, and I can't move. Is it some kind of large animal? Yeah, I don't know. It looks sort of like. It should have been a person, but I don't know what it is anymore. And it's these eyes are like everyone. Send anything you've got.
Stay calm. Help is coming to you. They'll be
I'm
there
sorry.
Shortly.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm
You'll
so,
be
I'm,
fine. You'll be
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
Help is coming
I
to you.
Don't think...
Hello? Hello?
Okay, so...
Ooh.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and like I say, it sounds genuine to me.
Yeah. These are proper, real 911 calls.
Yeah, and people do... I mean, obviously, there aren't many people talking about it, but generally, people who see these things don't go out and tell people about it. That's your problem with stuff like this. And again, if you believe the omen of death theory, if you see it, the people that see it are dead, so they can't tell you about it. People do see it from time to time. So... Mm. Beware, you know, be aware, it is out there. Actually, on that, I just want to say, be aware that if, because we went to the zoo the other day, me and the kids, and the parrot zoo, and it's a zoo full of...
parrots?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. But it actually...
So it's called the parrot zoo, I suppose.
It's a bit of a coincidence, I know.
Yeah.
But it also has some tigers in there. I think it had 10 tigers, which is interesting. Anyway, it's near Skegness if for those who want to take the kids out.
Sunny Skeggy.
Yeah, and you get to go in, the parrots come down, you feed them and all that. So. Interesting. Anyway, the point was that I went to the parrot zoo, and obviously when you go to the zoo, and it, particularly for a father, it's difficult to change your child because the changing facilities is always inside the women's toilet, which is fucking annoying, right? Yeah. Anyway, the point is, I read this story the other day, which happened in China. There was a couple, and she went to change her infant son's nappy or diaper. And as she's doing that, a monkey, one of them little monkeys that you see on like Pirates of the Caribbean and that, came running, because they just have them running around in the zoo, don't they? And you can feed them and all that and jump on you and all that shit. Well, anyway, she was changing a nappy and this came running over and snatched the little boy's testicles, pulled them off, run away. Anyway, the surgeons managed to save one of them. The other one was eaten by the monkey. For its dinner. Yeah. But so just a public service announcement. If you're thinking of taking your small children to the zoo,
keep the door closed.
Just be careful where you...
And the windows.
Yeah, just be careful where you change your child.
If that was a parent, I'd go back and actually rip the monkey's head off.
Yeah, well, you guess what they do though, innit, monkeys? It's a territorial thing,
isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah but again, you know, I wouldn't...
Yeah, we don't recommend cruelty to animals.
I don't think we've got that many in this country.
But monkeys?
No, I mean...
anyway, so that's that.
Except for China.
And then there was that article I sent you the other day. There was an article in the paper about that six-legged cow. Do you see it?
Yes, I did.
It was a two-arsed six-legged cow.
It's got a lot of manure.
But the farmer was happy as Larry, though, because he said that he's never had more people on his farm. You know what I mean? His shop's doing wonderful, you know, because they all come and see the freak and buy some sausages.
Yeah. I wonder if he stuck them on.
Well, yeah, just stick it on.
Stick some legs on there. Yeah. Well, about two arses. That's a bit of a challenge. That's so put two arses on, isn't
there's
it?
There's a farm down the road now with a pig with 10 ear rolls, 10 ear rolls and 6 tails. And buy our sausages.
People are paid to see me now.
People do. But the people used to pay to see freak shows.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah.
So, anyway, getting back to the rake. Wraith,
same creature. Same
if you
entity,
are unfortunate to come across one, because like I say, people do run across them.
Of course.
We need to know how to kill one. Or can it be killed?
No. We can.
Well, it can go into the folklore of it, but...
But maybe keep it away from us, so it doesn't affect us. Keep it away from us.
It's positive thinking.
Well, it's actually intent.
Hey, just let me open this can.
Yeah, he's drinking again. Well,
can of pop.
Sorry, I'm having one as well. So, again, these creatures only coming out. This is why I try to reinforce all the time, keep away from Ouija boards. Keep away, because you just don't know what you're messing with. And that you can open a door and they can jump on you.
Well, they do.
And then you've got problems.
They feed on negative energy, so I guess...
They have to. They can't feed on anything else.
Exactly. So the principal way of ridding yourself of one of these is to think positive.
Yeah, have a great... Yeah. Let your aura shine. They can't. It blinds them. They can't come near you. It blinds them. They won't come anywhere near you.
Which is
this
easier,
is why they hide in the shadows or in the doorways in the dark.
But you found quite a lot of accounts where these things were turning up in like mental institutes and.
Well, absolutely. Well, this is what I'm saying. They feed off that.
Yeah.
You know, when someone goes a bit, you know, non-compos mentis, they feed off the energy because the person's not, you know, in the right frame of mind.
Yeah,
dark thoughts, killing people. This is why they. That's where the hangout. They hang out there, them places.
So if you can, I mean, it's easier said than done, but if you can think positive, that can sort of have a bearing on it. Also, just like, you know, when people say dogs smell fear and stuff like that, but yeah, I mean, that's not even vaguely similar, but I don't know. But anyway, the point, that's one way to do it. You can just think positive, which is very difficult if you're staring at one of these creatures because they are ugly motherfuckers, aren't they? Some
absolutely
creepy, creepy.
You know, what you need to do, if you're going to go to a ghost hunt or a place, a house, and you don't feel, usually know when you get to the house or the location, you don't feel right, do you? Mm. Feeling something in the house, you don't feel right. Protect yourself there and then. Before you even go in the house.
I've never had that feeling. That's the problem, isn't it?
Maybe one day.
We went on a ghost hunt the other night, didn't we? But well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So
yeah, of course.
Going back to the folklore of how to kill, because like I say, people need to know. I mean, someone could be seeing one right now.
Yeah.
And we're going on about this. We need to tell them. So let me tell you. Number one way to get rid of a wraith is if you see it before midnight, just keep running. Keep running. As soon as that clock, it's like Cinderella. As soon as that clock strikes midnight, the wraith turns back to a pumpkin.
Does it?
No, that's made up. But it does vanish. So there's that way. Or obviously the easiest way, most practical way, and the way I would choose to deal with the thing is to cut its head off.
Mm.
Remove the head, kill the beast.
What if it's a discarnate? And that means it's not physical. I just cut its head off.
Just keep running. The problem with running until midnight is if you see the thing at like 2 a.m, you got a long way to run. I don't know how that works, but that's your three main ways. Then think positive, cut its head off, or run till midnight. And if all else fails, we'll see you on the other side.
Well, my take on that is protect yourself. Just have intent. You know, ask for your guides to come in. Ask them to remove it, and they will. But you have to ask. It's intent. They can't do anything until you ask for help, basically. So if you see something you don't like, then if I go to a location or a house, I ask my guys to be with me all the time, and then I'll ask for a white light to encircle my aura, and that's it. And I usually then go really, really hot because I know it's worked. I go into a place and I feel okay.
What would be the point in that? Because
they can't touch you. They will not come near you.
If you're going to a ghost hunt, I want to be touched.
But I don't.
I want something thrown at me.
Oh, maybe you can still.
I mean, ideally, I'd rather have something thrown at you.
No. Yeah, well, of course you would. Yeah. You don't like me. That's it. But what I'm saying is, right, I'd like to go in and see spirit custody. I'd love to. But I don't want anything negative or anything nasty coming near me. Mm. So it stays its ground. It stays away. I can see other spirits and talk to other spirits or whatever, but not the negative ones.
What if you go to a ghost hunt then and the friendly ghosts aren't there? What's the point?
Well, then they're not there, I don't want to be associated with negative ghosts.
Anyway, we went on a ghost hunt the other night, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We was there, what was it there, from 9 till...
Half one o'clock.
Yeah, and basically we got a couple of little, what you might term as orbs.
I was really disappointed because... We was both thinking that we'd go to the control tower, we'd go to the hangars and check them all out. No, it was just in one building, which was very disappointing to us. And then we was there. I got a couple of bits in the theatre, and then we kind of got kicked out from there down to the basement, didn't we?
Yes.
We did a bit of filming down the basement, and then we did a bit of filming a couple of rooms. But basically, it was...
We put some of the footage on the hangout. I mean,
yeah, we've got some more footage to put out.
Yeah, when we was down in the cellar, there was a couple of knocks, weren't there? Little taps, some shuffling of feet. There was a cough at one point.
Yes,
you'll actually hear that. You can. I mean, you're talking at the time that cough happens, but if people, you'll hear me say, "Was that a cough?" And if you just go back a little bit and listen, you can just as you're talking, you can hear it. It's very faint because it was down at the bottom of the tunnel. I think.
I said to you, as I went down the tunnel, I sent a spirit behind the door, and I got a name, Kenneth Graham, one of them anyway, but behind the door, it was definitely a male spirit, but again, we did a recording, didn't we, but we didn't get anything, any noise on the recording, nothing was said, so, but hopefully I'm going to edit the video camera today, and then stick the rest on Hangout, so hopefully we're going to get some good stuff we haven't seen yet.
But essentially,
quiet.
Yeah,
I was hoping for more.
Like I say, when we booked on to go to this RAF place, we thought we'd go visit the a hangar or the control tower.
That's why I booked it for.
Yeah.
For the control tower, because that's the apparently the most haunted place in the area. It was the control tower.
We got to go to a theatre, a basement, and the sleeping quarters. Pretty much.
And the sleeping quarters to me was non-existent.
No.
I mean, nothing near me.
No, we didn't really. I'd give it 1 out of 10.
Well, I'll give it a 2, and then I'm pushing it there, mate. Yeah. To be honest.
So, no ghost this time. But
I'm not going back there. I'm not going to on these ghost hunts anymore. Well, I mean, me and Lee will still go to places and blah blah blah. But I mean, on these bought ghost hunts, because you know, I just got the. I think there was no energy there. The people I was with, they just treated it like a parlor game. It was like a game. It's not a game.
Mm.
It's very important, you know. To people. I mean, they bought these boards, didn't they? Ouija boards. And I kept, well, I put my hand up and said, I'm not going anywhere.
Scared of them, yeah.
I'm not scared of them, no, yeah. But I know what they can do, and yeah. I'm not doing it, so.
I just don't believe in it.
Well, I mean, you sat at the table, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was there table rapping with you? Was there kind of, not once for yes and two for no? Was I doing that? You didn't seem interested anyway.
No.
By the way,
yeah, there was a couple of taps.
Yeah, that could have been them.
But again, you know, this is the problem I've got when ghosts don't need you to be touching a table for them to, you know, for it to work. When we got to the theatre, we all sat there, didn't we, in chairs. There was about 30 of us?
Yeah. No, about 20, 25.
Yeah. So
25 tops.
Yeah. So we all sat in a circle in the theatre, and obviously the lights went out, and then they said, you know, take the people next to you, take their hands. So we're all sat there in a circle.
All holding hands. Again, it's a magical ritual act.
Mm. And obviously it was pitch black, so when we started taking hands, I shouted out. There was a woman sat next to me, wasn't there? And shouted out, "That's not my hand." And she went, "Oh, we've got a right sort here tonight. Yeah.
Get rid of these two, the troublemakers."
Shortly after that, we was kicked off to the basement.
But, I was told off I had my video camera on the tripod.
Mm.
And I was setting it all up, and because it was too bright, there was all complaining. I said, anyway, they chucked us down the basement, didn't they?
Yeah.
Again, you see, they went to their table rap or Ouija boards, and they just not once for yes. It's so boring. Mm. It's outdated. It's rubbish. It's the energy was no there because it wasn't. They wanted to go there for the thrill or the laugh.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm really not boring. In favour of this.
I'm not
all this electronic bullshit as well.
No, I'm not.
You know, this gadget for this and this gadget for that. No.
We had some gadgets. They gave us some gadgets. What did we pick up, Lee?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
Nothing, man.
Anyway, that's Binbrook, so that's done.
Done.
Yeah, we've got a couple of little places to go, haven't we? Hopefully soon. So,
yes,
we're still going to York on the 22nd of April.
Anybody
April.
Who's around the area, please come and join us for a drink. Hello to us, have a chat.
We've had a couple of willing victims to come. I mean, a couple of willing members to come out with us on the 22nd, 23rd. So, yeah. So
looking forward to that. Well, I think Lee said he's going to pay some bar bills. So
yeah.
It's time for the
joke. Oh, right. I mean, just before we go there, we did a little poll on a hangout, didn't we? Who should do the next joke?
Well, I've already done it.
And
I think it's fixed, by the way, because they've got more votes for Lee for his last joke than I did for mine. So I think it's been fixed.
Well, I thought it was a bit of a conspiracy. But unfortunately, I won the poll, so I have
it's fixed, mate.
I have to deliver a joke. Now, some people will have seen this joke, so it was passing around Facebook, so. But here goes. So Mick goes round to Paddy's house, okay?
Right.
And unfortunately, Paddy has broken his leg. So Mick says, "Is there anything I could do for you, mate?" And Paddy says, "You know what? I'd really like." He says, "My slippers. I've left my slippers upstairs." Okay. So Mick says, "Oh, I'll go get them." He says, "No problem." So he goes up the stairs. Anyway, he ventures up the stairs and he turns round to Paddy's bedroom. And out the corner of his eye, he sees Paddy's two young daughters, 19-year-old daughters, that are laid on the bed, stark butt naked. So,
a dirty one.
Yeah, he looks in the bedroom door and he says, "Hello, ladies." He says, "Your dad sent me up here to fuck you both." And they said, "No chance. He wouldn't do that." He says, "Honestly, he has." Anyway, they said, "No, you'll have to prove it." So he says, "Okay." So he shouts down to Paddy, "Do you just want one of them or both of them?" He says, Paddy shouts back up, "There's no point, just fucking one of them." Anyway,
God.
That's the joke. So it'll be Andy's turn next week.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not doing no more. Last poll was fixed.
And no more nun jokes.
No more nun jokes. Well, I'll give a priest joke if you want.
We'll see.
You'll see.
Never say never. That's what I say.
Correct.
So, but that being said, we will see you next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please leave feedback where possible.
Yes, please. We're
easily accessible on Facebook or the email address. Please visit the website.
Yep.
I've redone that. Looks a little bit better. Maybe give us feedback. Let us know. If you've got any ideas for features on the website, that's what I'm looking into next.
Yeah.
I want to make the website a little bit more interesting. So if you've got any ideas for features, please let me know. You can let me know on Facebook or dbtopodcast@gmail.com. You can do that via the website, obviously, if you're on the website looking at it. But until next week, be careful out there.
Yeah. Bye now.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.